wonderful job. Amazes me sometimes how the Lord just impresses on me. So what I'm about to do, I have never done before, but I feel like the Lord wants me to do it. Anybody out there? And you just heard the song that was sung, and your life needs to be changed, and you listened to that song with interest, and you felt God say something to you, and you would like Jesus to change your life, and you would like that to happen right now, there's no reason for you to sit through my message. If you are out there, and your life needs to be changed, and you're willing to let Jesus change it, I can have somebody help you with it right now. All you would have to do is say, Pastor, my life needs to be changed. And if you're telling me Jesus can change my life, I sure would like to know about that. Is there anybody in the room that would like to have their life changed right now by the Lord Jesus Christ? Pastor, there's a lot of people out there. I know. Forget about them. I'm talking to you. Anybody want their life to be changed today? And you're willing to give your heart to the Lord? And you say, I want to do it and I need to do it right now? I don't want to miss you, so you would have to raise your hand high. The whole church is thinking, Pastor, you're freaking people out. No, I'm not freaking people out. I found this. When you want something bad enough, you don't let anybody stop you from it. I'll ask one more time. Anybody want to have their life changed by the Lord today and you know you need it? Okay. Take your Bible and find the book of James. Everybody just went, whew. Hey, let me say something about Plantation Baptist Church. We love people. We love people. We're not ashamed to say that. We're not ashamed to let you know that. The number one thing we care about with you is your soul, your heart, where you are. Kim, wait a minute. Kim, is that little Mary? That's little Mary, right? Let's see little Mary. That's little Mary. She's about a month old, right? 6 weeks. Without scaring her, look, she's holding her head up. She hears her name. Hello, little Mary. She says, that's the handsome man I heard in the belly all those months. Hey, God richly blessed you. I look forward to dedicating little Mary. Okay, go ahead. She's beautiful. Thank you for bringing her today. Join with me, if you would, please, James chapter 4, verse number 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city. We will continue there a year, and we will buy, and we will sell, and we will get gain. James is addressing folks that are thinking about their tomorrow. He's addressing folks that have set out their 1 year, 5 year plan. He's addressing the mindset that needs to say, I won't do it today, but because I'm sure I can do it tomorrow. Verse 14. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a what class? Vapor. That appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. What a true statement. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live, and we will do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. What boastings, Pastor? It's not wrong to have a plan. It's not wrong to buy and sell. It's not wrong to do those things. Of course not. It's just wrong to think you can do it tomorrow. They were boasting that they had tomorrow. It's interesting. Verse number 16 says, all such rejoicing is evil. Strong word. Verse 17, therefore, or because of that, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is what class? Sin. Our message today finds its lodging in the series 2020 is coming. For weeks now, I have been preaching to you in preparation for the upcoming change of the decade. Preaching to prepare us corporately as the body of Christ. Preaching to prepare us individually as believers. Dealing with what Dr. A.W. Tozer said was a spiritual lethargy that has rested upon the church. A drowsiness or a sleepiness that has come into the house of God and to the people of God when it comes to the things of God, and especially when it comes to reaching a lost and dying world. You and I understand the danger physically that it is to fall asleep at the wheel while driving. I am preaching this series because there is even a greater danger, and that is for the church to fall asleep while we are to be reaching a lost and dying world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I have been preaching to you about certain dangers that have crept in that are facilitating this lethargic position within the church. Ones that breed arrogance, ones that suffer from defeatism. Victory and defeat. Last week I preached about prosperity and adversity. Today I am preaching to you a message that I do believe is of extreme danger. And it is one of the reasons I do believe why many are finding a lethargy in the church of God and a lethargicness to the people of God. Because we find ourselves dealing with tomorrow. And I'm preaching a message today simply entitled, The Danger of Postponed Living. James is dealing with this very thought. I'll do it tomorrow. Why do today what you can put off till tomorrow? I'll do it tomorrow. A mentality that has really and truthfully developed our society or engulfed our society. To find somebody who knows how to make today important is a precious person. To find somebody that has found victory in over postponement or the thought of doing something tomorrow is very precious. Not only does this thought permeate our lives and our society, but you will find as you look into the Word of God that it has permeated humanity for a very, very long time. I submit to you, as we are dealing with the dangers that are in the church, there is a tremendous danger spiritual danger in living a postponed life. To postpone means to put off or to defer something. Most of the time, this deference or this postponing or this putting off is somehow justified in our conscience by something we call good intentions. I have good intentions that one day I will do this. Problem with that is you cannot judge an intention as being good until it has been performed. Until there is an action to your intention, I do not believe that you can call them good intentions. Good intentions, when you boil them down, are basically an excuse. An excuse for what, Pastor? I would encourage you or submit to you that good intentions are sometimes and are mostly an excuse to postpone obedience or immediate action. Why would this be important? If you love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, would you say amen? Those of us that love the Lord, and even some that may not even know the Lord, have at least an understanding that I do not want to ever disobey the Lord. For sure, I never want to deny him as who he is as God and his deity. I do not want to deny him as creator. But I sure do not want to deny him in his word. And I would never want to reject what God has for me in his person or in his word or in his will. But I want you to think about this. When you really boil down postponement, putting off today that I will do tomorrow, especially when it becomes a spiritual focus, that is exactly what you are doing. Disobeying, denying, and rejecting the Lord. Now, we would never desire that. We would never say that. But this is how that boils down. The urging of the Holy Spirit to do something. The movement of the Spirit of God to say a word. The movement of the Spirit of God to surrender to a call. The movement or the direction from the Word of God. God somehow impresses upon you now to do something. And my response is, I'll do it tomorrow. In effect, my postponement is justified in my mind as a good intention, but really that is an excuse against immediate obedience. And in effect, I have said, no, I don't have time for that. No, that doesn't fit my schedule. No, I'm not prepared for that. No, I don't want to deal with that. No, I don't want to do that. No. And in effect, I find that my postponement is really evidence of my disobedience or my denial or my rejection of what God would want me to do. If you can at least understand that, would you say amen to that? So now process. We're preaching about preparing our church to be what it ought to be to a lost and dying world, what it ought to be to a Savior that loves us. And we're preaching to prepare us so that we would be obedient, that we would be receptive, that we would move forward here. And so you can understand how the church on a whole, as we look across this land, has moved into a position of lethargy or drowsiness or apathy or status quo because we can do it tomorrow. Interesting. I think James highlights here three big dangers of postponement. Write these down. This is not the message. This is just part of the message. Write these three tragedies of a postponed spiritual life, if you would please. The number one tragedy of the postponing of a spiritual life is your misunderstanding of the brevity of life. I got news for you. The older I get, the faster life goes. What is your life? James said, you better realize it's but a vapor. You didn't know they did vaping in the Bible, did you? It's not the same kind. What these folks had made their plans based off of tomorrow. James said, you think you have time. And even if you get some tomorrows, you're not guaranteed always tomorrow. And one of the great tragedies of postponement, even in your physical relationships, but yet spiritual relationships, is that I miss out on understanding on the brevity of life. Now, I don't know about you, but I believe life came from God. I believe that life has value, and life has a time to that. You're not going to live forever on this earth. And life is precious. And you only have so many years. So many years. It goes so fast. The second tragedy of a postponed spiritual life is you miss out on the purpose of your life. You miss out on the purpose of life. He talks about the Lord's will in these chapters. What you ought to say, what we shall say, is that if the Lord will, I promise you that everybody in this room, God has a plan and a will for your life. And God has a purpose for that life. And God wants you to know that purpose. And he's constantly unfolding that purpose in your life. And really and truthfully, that unfolding comes day by day. Of course, we all want to know what the future holds. The truth is, you and I can't, we could never survive the future. We're not built to handle the future. Praise the Lord, we don't know the future, which enables us to enjoy today. But we spend so much time concentrated on days we're not promised that we miss out on the purpose of our lives in the immediate day. I got to ask you a question. Are you satisfied that you know God's purpose for your life? Pastor, are you talking about specific purposes? Because I wrestle with this. No, I think those get unfolded, but at least the general purpose. Do you even know why you're on the earth? Well, my dad, my mom, they had an evening and I just showed up. You were created by Almighty God. And God has a purpose for your life. And here's the deal. The more that we postpone our spiritual lives, the more that we postpone that and the older that we get, we're giving up purpose. Then we get to an age where we look back And we wonder, what in the world? Or where did the time go? Or why? What did I ever do? And we miss that. When in reality, God is showing you every day his purpose for your life. Pastor, how does he do that? One of the ways is through this book. So I ought to read it. He's doing it through his Spirit. Listen, don't let the world tell you that, A, there is no God. There is a God. He created you. He's got a wonderful purpose for your life. But we keep postponing what he wants us to do. And then we miss out on the purpose. Third thing. The blessing of life. James said, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good, and to doeth it not, to him it is what? Sin. So one of the great joys of life is doing good. And this doing good is a righteousness. It's serving the Lord. It's the blessing of my life. In effect, this is what I can tell you. Your postponement of what God's purpose and plan and will and moving of the Holy Spirit of God in your life is in effect sinful. Well, Pastor, good night. I'm doing everything I can do. I don't know where I would fit anything else in my life. It's not where I'm maliciously doing this. It's not where I want to be negligent. But Pastor, I've got to go to work. I've got to do these things. I've got to provide for my family. I have to do all of this kind of stuff. I understand you have to do that now. But let's understand this. Our first allegiance is to the one who died for us. Now we get ourselves in this place. But there is a postponement. The tragedy of that is I don't realize the brevity or the preciousness of life. I think I will always have tomorrow. I miss out on the purpose of my life. Therefore, I'm bored. Therefore, I don't have any understanding or direction. Then when I end up getting to the end of my life and I look back, I think, why was I here? What in the world happened? It went so fast. And now I'm at the end of my life. And really, truthfully, if you had to ask me something, Pastor, I really didn't have a Christian joyful life. Well, probably you will find postponement had a lot to do with that. And I think about the churches as a whole, we really do as the body of Christ find ourselves living in a day where God's people as a church have postponed their lives spiritually. I need to show you something that is powerful in the book of Acts. I need you to hold your hand here and you will forever remember what I'm about to show you. Go to Acts chapter number 13. We will come back to the book of James, but let me show you Acts chapter number 13. In the book of Acts, Paul is preaching. Luke is recording this. In this chapter, Paul's preaching to the Jews about the deity of Jesus Christ. And he's preaching to them how that he was the son of David, and how that even before David, there was the Lord Jesus, right? And in this message, he makes a statement about David that every one of us need to understand. Look, if you would, at Acts 13. Look at verse number 36. I appreciate those pages turning. Are you there? Everybody there? Right. For David, after he had served his, say those two words, own generation. Now, Webster said a generation is defined by a group of people who were born around the same time. As a timetable, it spans from the birth of parents till the time that they have children. You're talking about a generation here. Paul said about David, for David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep, right? Now, if you know your Bibles, that means he did what? He died. And was laid unto his fathers, and he saw corruption. That's so powerful there that Paul recognized that David served his own generation. I got news for you. You are to serve your generation. The Lord is just giving me a whole bunch of things. I'm trying to process them. Does that mean I got to join the military? No, praise God for those that do. But here's what the Bible's teaching. Before you die, you're to serve your generation. So think about this. A generation is a group of people born around the same time. So all you 50-year-olds out there. No, wait a minute. Let's go to 60. I'm going to be 50 in a couple years. And I don't want this conviction on me. Get off me. From the time you were born, millennial, teenager, 14-year-old kid is to be serving the 14-year-old kids of his generation. You're to serve your generation as you grow older. You're to serve consistently throughout. So my 80-year-olds better be serving the other 80-year-olds. The millennials ought to be a testimony to the millennials. David served his own generation. Tell me you understand that. Okay. Nothing you can do about the past generations. But here's where we've been wrong. We have postponed our generations and we're asphyxiated on the future generations. So we're laying aside money for retirement. We're building plans for that. We're working toward what we're going to do. And we're always looking toward future, which we're not guaranteed. And we're postponing what God wants us to do in our generation. You want to serve future generations, serve the generation you're in now. Well, I can't serve the Lord until I retire. That's garbage. You're not guaranteed retirement. And it's interesting, David wasn't the best Christian in the world. David was a fallen man, and yet God said he served his generation. What does he mean? David was a warrior. David became king when he was anointed, when he really didn't even want to be king. David went and fought Goliath. I mean, David led armies. David went and laid money for the temple. David went and got the Ark of the Covenant. I mean, David served in the now. What are you doing now? For your generation, 40-year-olds, 50-year-olds, 60-year-olds, my millennials, my teenagers, we're so prone to think forward that we forget about the now. I'm telling you, the danger of postponement is the fact, the brevity of life, the purpose of life, the joy of life, and we're putting off tomorrow what God wants us to do today. No wonder the church is asleep. Nobody cares about today. And pastors are seeing this. Every man has the responsibility to serve his generation before he dies. And my friends, 2020 is coming. Having said that, let me give you some areas where I think are vital to postponement that we need to address today. Write these down. If you were to assess probably most churches corporately, and you were to assess most Christians individually, I think you would find that there's been some postponement and some misunderstanding of what God has for you. And I want you to write these down. The first thing that we've postponed is our stewardship responsibilities. Our stewardship responsibilities. Now, when I say the word stewardship, most people think about money. Don't go there yet. I'm not there. When I talk about stewardship, I'm talking about what Paul and what Peter and what the New Testament says and what the Lord Jesus says about the fact that those of us that know the Lord should be servants of the Lord. A steward is a manager of somebody else's affairs. The steward is not the owner. The steward is loved and respected by the owner. The servant is entrusted by the owner with all that the owner has. The owner has an expectation upon the steward that everything will move forward, that there will be blessing upon that, and the owner has some requirements into what the steward is supposed to do. It is a wonderful badge of honor to be a steward for a successful owner. It is a wonderful badge of honor to be a steward for Jesus Christ. But where we've gone to sleep in our Christianity is that we're thinking so much either about past failure or about the future that we're forgetting that we're responsible to steward now. And when you think about what we're supposed to steward, it breaks up into a category of three T's, and you know this. Basically, you can boil it down to time, talent, and treasure. That's what we're to be stewarding. That's what we're to be concentrated on. And so there's a tragedy in the postponement of the stewardship of my time. There's a tragedy in the postponement of the stewardship of my talent. And there's a tragedy in the postponement of the stewardship of my treasure and time with the Lord. This is not something that you can start or be guaranteed to start tomorrow. One of the reasons people suffer from victorious Christians' lives, they don't spend time with God. This is where we find ourselves. We're postponing our time with the Lord because we think we're too busy to spend time with the one who died for us. And I can't wait till I retire. Then every morning I can read my Bible. I got news for you. There's every morning, every day now. Right? And I can't wait until life gets easier so that I have more time. More time, more time, more time. That is a postponement of what God wants for me to do. I understand how we justify that. because, Pastor, we're just so busy. I just don't have time. Well, my friends, if you needed more time, God would have made 25 hours in a day. It is not God's fault that his church doesn't have more time. It's our fault. You're welcome for that one. You're out of order. Something's wrong. You're not stewarding your time right. Well, when I get, man, I can't wait. If I could just get here, then I'll have every morning free. No. Number one, you're not guaranteed tomorrow. Number two, it's postponing what God wants you to do. Your talents, serving the Lord. Your treasure and giving to the Lord. You can understand why the church is found here. We postpone what we want to do. Write this one down. Number two. There's a tragedy in postponing the Great Commission. Speaking to the lost. Putting off that which God wants for me to do. Have you ever been somewhere where the Holy Spirit of God urges you and you know he wants you to say a good word for somebody? You know he wants you to reach out to that person? You're sitting there. I've done this a billion times. I'm as guilty as anybody. And the Holy Spirit says, witness Christ to them. And my spirit says, either I don't have time, I'll do it later. I've got the best intention. One day I'm going to walk across and knock on my neighbor's door. The intention is not good. I'm justifying that. I have created an excuse in my postponement as in obeying the Lord. It's so easy to do that. Let me just give you a proof that we're guilty here. You love me and I love you, right? Right. Are you math people? Anybody math in here? You are a math guru. There's nobody better at math than you. You are not telling the truth. We have a young man on the senior trip. Took his SAT. Won't tell you who it was. Just tell you it wasn't my son. Did not miss one question on the math part. Wow. Now, and he wasn't one of those people that had somebody take the test for him either. I know what you're thinking about. That's going around the world right now. Anyway, I'll stop right there. Didn't miss one. All right. So let me just show you something. On paper, we have an active membership of 1,200 people, just under 1,200 people. Any given Sunday, bad Sunday, 550, good Sunday, 700. If everybody in the church was to witness to one person a year or win one person to Christ a year, disciple them, do what the Bible says, we would have to buy property and start churches and everywhere, because the multitude of that, next year we would have 2,400. 4,800. I don't know the next number. 96. So think about this now. I don't know any church doing that. Ours included. How many people have you won? How many people have you witnessed to? How sensitive, how many times have you said, I'll do that later? You see, no wonder the church has kind of got lethargic. We have postponed our responsibility to speak to the lost. Number three. Postponing our loving our families and loving our neighbors. This is important to me. Because I think this is important to the Lord. And I think it's important to our churches. And it's a danger. And I think it's one of the reasons why we suffer so much in the next generation. I'll tell you a little story. I'll read it to you. A little boy asked his father to help him build a little hut in the backyard. But his father was always tired. He said, no. No, kid, not tonight. Daddy's worked all day. The next night when the dad came home, little boy said, Daddy, would you help me build a tent tonight? No, kid. I can't do it tonight. I'm really tired. Tell you what, I'll do it, son. One of these days, you and I are going to build that tent. But he never did. One day he came home and he said, the boy said, Daddy, we going to do it tonight? Man, kid, you're relentless. Tell you what, tomorrow. Tomorrow you and I are going to Home Depot. We're going to buy new lumber. We're going to get new stuff. And we're going to build that little tent. Story says the little boy went off to bed, and you can imagine, man, he's so excited he's going to build that tent. Went to school thinking when I get home, my daddy and I are going to do something together. About 10 o'clock in the morning, daddy was at work and ran a business, got a phone call. Said, you got to come to the hospital immediately. What's wrong? He says, your boy's been hurt. He was hit by a truck today on the way to school. And he's hurt real bad. So you can imagine, dad raced out of his work and raced down to where the little boy was and got in the room, saw his little boy crushed up pretty good. The father got there and the little boy opened up his eyes. He heard his daddy's voice. And he said to him, you could tell his little boy wouldn't talk to his dad. His dad put his ear down by his little boy's mouth. Here's what the little boy said. He said, well, Daddy, I don't think we're going to get to build that tent now, are we? Dad said, ran out of the room, found a little place in the hallway, fell on his knees. He said, God, would you just give me one more opportunity with my boy to build that little tent? And the rest of his life, he had to live with a memory of never building that little tent. Why would you tell that story? Postponement is dangerous. It's dangerous in your spiritual life. It's dangerous in your family life. Dad, your boy wanting to build a little tent with you. Mom, you guys keep coming home saying we'll do it one day. One day. Allie, there's only one person more relentless than my daughter Allie, and that's God. Daddy, I want to go on a trip. Daddy, I want to go on a trip. Daddy, I want to go on a trip. We'll go one day. We'll go. I can't go. Daddy's got these people to see. Daddy's got this to do. I got this deacon thing. I just can't do it, Allie. Daddy, I want to go. I want to go. I want to go. I want to go. Daddy, Allie, Daddy can't do it. And the Lord got me with my own message. I said, where do you want to go? She said, I want to go to St. Augustine. And Daddy don't want to go to St. Augustine. But Daddy ended up at St. Augustine. Mom and Dad, you need to think and you need to listen to your pastor. I'm helping you as a pastor. If out of your mouth keeps coming tomorrow, you are not guaranteed tomorrow. Lastly, do not postpone answering God's call. Acts 24, verse 25, Festus is being given the gospel. And here's what Festus says. Festus says to Paul, at the point of conviction, he says, when I have a more convenient season, I'll call for you. I wonder if that's you today. I wonder if God has worked in your mind and your heart and has reached out and touched you with your need to be saved, and you keep saying, I will do it tomorrow. 14 years I've been your pastor. Have you sat there for 14 years and said, one day I'm going to be saved? One day I'm going to be saved. Can you imagine having an intention to be saved? When I'm done with my work life, I'm going to get saved. When I get married, I'm going to get saved. Once I've sown my wild oats or roots or whatever, I'm going to get saved. You know you need to be saved. You set a date in the future to be saved, but you don't get that day. And for eternity, you will think, if I had one more day, if I had one more day. If God has impressed upon you your need to be saved, today's the day of salvation. Christian, let me talk to the prodigal son, prodigal daughter here. The prodigal son, when he was in the hog pen and God finally came to himself, he didn't say he'd come home tomorrow. He said, I'm coming home now. Some of you need to come home today. Not put off tomorrow what you're going to do today because you're sensitive today. You may not be sensitive tomorrow. I've seen that so much. I've seen where God has laid a spiritual sensitivity on somebody's heart and they're thinking, I'm just going to put it off a little bit and think about it. And then that sensitivity grows cold. Christian, has God laid his call upon your life? And you're postponing it? The danger of postponed living is that we never do what God wants us to do. And life goes by. We never know the purpose. And we never know the joy. And we look back one day and we thought, if I could only have tomorrow. My mother-in-law is here, and she told me a brief story after the service today, or this morning. My mother-in-law loves me so much, she stays for both messages. She said, Tom, I remember your father-in-law. He died 4 years ago. He used to say this as a little boy. God was working on him to be saved. And he said, one day when I retire and I'm sitting in my rocking chair, I'm going to get saved. Do you know one day, I think September 22nd, 2015, he woke up in the morning, healthy as a horse, but not feeling well, walked into that living room and sat in his rocking chair and died. Fell on the floor. Mom tried to do what she could. He died. If he'd have lived in that philosophy, one day in my rocking chair, I'm going to get saved. He died in that rocking chair. Praise God, when he was 16 years old, he gave his heart to Jesus Christ. There is a danger in postponement. It's permeated our churches. It's permeated us as individuals. Shall we pray?